Hello, everyone. My name is Carolyn. Welcome to the Saving for Your First Home podcast. I am the CEO of The Financial Moment. We offer money coaching for those who are ready and willing to make financial changes in their lives. For the most of us, there comes a point in time where we think to ourselves, it would be really nice to own property. But it sometimes can feel like a pipe dream and not very easily obtainable. So I created this podcast to give you all the information and tools you need to take the steps forward toward home ownership. Take it from me, my husband and I started our lives together working part-time jobs with a young child. Fast forward through many hiccups and failures, we stepped our feet into our very first home. For us, it was a pile of dirt, but eventually our family home was built on that dirt. Now we are in the midst of growing our investment property portfolio. I created the Savings for Your First Home podcast to give you easy, actionable tools for you to do the same. If you have that same gut feeling that I did and want to create a life for yourself and your growing family, but don't know where to start, you are in the right place. Let's do this. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Saving for Your First Home podcast. Today, we're going to change things up a little bit. I've invited Ryan Crane, who has a fascinating story, and it's going to teach us about budgeting and saving and how that can be an integral part of an adventure of a lifetime. Just a little brief history on Ryan. He was born and raised in Mustang, Oklahoma, and he attended college at the University of Oklahoma, where he earned his degree in exercise science. Very interesting. After graduating, he held several corporate positions in wellness and started his own business on the side, training high school and college athletes. But at the age of 30 years old, he took his first trip overseas and hasn't stopped traveling since. Becoming fascinated by different cultures and languages and how other people live, Ryan's curiosity would take him around the globe, across six continents, and through 52 countries. Unbelievable story. So let's dive into it. Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you so much for having me.
We're excited to hear all about your story. But first, before we dig in, tell me a little bit about your background and where you grew up.
Yeah, definitely. So you did a marvelous job introducing me, but dig a little deeper into it. I was born and raised in a really small town in the Midwest, a town called Mustang, Oklahoma, just a very traditional upbringing. Born and raised in a very traditional town in Oklahoma City, and just grew up thinking, hey, I'm just going to go to college, graduate, find the job, buy the house, get married, just kind of move down that traditional path. And I was totally okay with that. I didn't really know anything different. I didn't think anything different. I thought that's just how life goes. And that's kind of how I was taught. So I went to school and graduated from college, got my degree in exercise science, and started training athletes, started going down the corporate wellness route. And eventually I just found this travel bug that took a hold of me, and it just completely catapulted me into a new realm of life that I didn't even know existed. So I was going down that traditional path, and something grabbed a hold of me and said, wait a second, you need to do something else. And so I kind of went all in with that. But I do believe I have a lot of practical nature in me as well, because I did grow up and was raised in a very traditional part of the country. So I still have that practical nature inside of me as well.
So let me dig in a bit. When did you make that decision to change your life course like that and start this traveling adventure?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was 30 years old. I had been working for a Fortune 500 oil and gas company in Oklahoma City, and I loved my job. It was a really good job. I had no qualms or issues with it. And oil and gas is very cyclical, you know, booms and busts. And during one of the busts, I was a part of a mass layoff. Tens of thousands of Oklahomans lost their job in 2016. And
wow,
that was the catalyst. I got laid off. I received a meager severance package, nothing crazy. And I asked my girlfriend at the time, like, hey, do you care if I go abroad and just spend a few weeks overseas exploring? Like, I'm still getting paid. I'll come home and figure out my next step. And she said, of course. So off I went. Landed in Europe for the very first time outside of North America. I felt like I was living with a blindfold on. I had never realized my eyes were open to a completely different culture. Like, I thought America was it. I thought it was the end all be all. I thought the American dream was it. And it is for some people, for sure. But for me, it just opened my eyes. Like, wow, there's this whole other world out there. And that was kind of the catalyst behind it.
Interesting. Where did you first land in Europe? What country was it that impressed you?
Yeah, so it was Lisbon, Portugal. And it just completely changed how I viewed the world. I knew nothing about it. I went in with zero expectations and just came away with just goosebumps. Just like, wow, I need to see more.
Amazing. I understand you talked to your girlfriend and you kind of just jumped in, but was there any like planning involved, or how did you make this a priority to become part of what you wanted to do?
Yeah, another great question. So that relationship eventually ended and I was going through a really hard time. I came home from that first trip. The relationship had ended. I couldn't find my next job. I was struggling to find it. And I was going through a hard time. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to travel. I'm going to use travel to heal and move through this hard time. And that was my kind of second catalyst of how I kept going. But I didn't really know how I was going to make it work. You know, I hadn't found a job again. How was I going to make it work financially? So I ended up starting small. And so I would look for very cheap, reasonable prices to destinations in the United States or Canada or Latin America, you know, relatively close destinations. And I would just be open to any date and any location. And when you come at travel from that perspective, with immense flexibility, you can find a lot of reasonably priced flight. Versus if you're locked into the very specific dates and very specific locations, your chances of finding reasonable priced flights is a little harder. So I was open to anywhere. That was kind of the first step, is finding reasonably priced flights while I didn't have a job. I eventually, 2 or 3 months later, found my next step in my career. So that was nice. And then I kept expanding my comfort zones. Okay, I want to explore a little further outside of the Western Hemisphere. I want to go further. But obviously it takes more money. But thankfully I had found that second job. And I used the same mindset, reasonably priced flights anywhere in the world. So at any time I was open to going anywhere. And there are some really good deals out there to be found. And so that's kind of how I did it. And that was kind of the mindset behind it.
Okay, very interesting. I understand looking for reasonable flights, off times and things like that. But where did the budget come from? How did you actually plan and allocate money? Because you knew that this was going to be a priority in your life.
It's interesting to me. I never really knew. I think I was ingrained to save for my father at a young age. He just always ingrained it in me. You know, you don't need as much as you think. Just keep it simple. You don't need extravagant fancy cars. Pay in cash when you can. Don't let your credit card bills go overdue. So my father kind of ingrained this saving spirit in me very early. And I really took it to heart as I grew into my adult years. And I just started saving. I didn't really know what I was saving for. I didn't have spreadsheets. I wasn't taking any master classes. I kind of just lived this really simple, to be honest with you. And it came from my father. And then I woke up one day in my mid-30s and I was like, okay, I have a reasonable nest egg here. Do I want to buy a house or do I want to travel? And so my mindset at that time was traveling. I decided I'm not going to buy that house yet because I want to see the world. So Carolyn, I can't sit here and tell you I know all the secrets to budgeting and things of that nature. I just saved. I just lived a really simple life. I lived below my means. I didn't go out to eat fancy dinners. I didn't drink very much. I know it sounds simple, but it really adds up over time, over 10, 12, 15 years. And when I got into my 30s, I was like, okay, I actually have a really reasonable amount of money saved up now. And so what can I use that?
That's a really good point, because sometimes our goals are not prevalent in our mind when we're actually doing the saving part, right? So we don't really know. It could be for buying a house, or it could be for travel or for kids or whatever the goal actually is. But having that foresight, and I'm glad to hear that your father is the one who kind of instilled that in you, where you don't need to live this extravagant life. You just put away, and when something comes available and something that's going to light you up, you'll have that resource to actually be able to use it and do it, the things that you actually want to do.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Now that we've heard the baseline, I want to hear all the exciting stories. Like, where did you end up? Where did you go?
Oh, man. Okay. So I hit this critical crossroads in my life where I could go down that traditional route or I could keep traveling. And I chose travel. So I just kept traveling and I kept traveling and I kept saving and I kept saving. And several years after that first trip abroad, I came to another fork in the road. And the fork in the road was what was called long-term travel. I didn't know what long-term travel was until I met a few random backpackers on a random trip to Southeast Asia while I was still doing that whole travel, just going anywhere I could at any time. And I came home from that trip thinking, like, wait, what's long-term travel? What would it be like to travel for more than a week or two at a time on vacation? And eventually the fork in the road was, wow, I want to see more of this world, more than 2 weeks at a time. I still have this nest egg saved up. Why don't I do something really bold, really adventurous, once in a lifetime? And so I did something that a lot of people may never do. And I still look back on it and I think, wow, that was pretty gutsy. But I quit that second job. I sold everything and I bought a one-way ticket back to Lisbon, Portugal, where it all started. And I traveled around the world for an entire year, 365 days.
Wow.
I hit every continent, 34 countries. It was the trip of a lifetime. And to be fair, it wasn't a never-ending string of euphoric moments. You know, there were practical realities and downsides and bad days that cropped up for sure, but it just escalated and escalated. And I just wanted to be able to say that I had no regrets because I knew I would regret one day not seeing more of the world. And somehow that year-long journey has turned into a published book, which I'm so proud of.
Oh, that's excellent.
I never ever would have imagined it. Like, I couldn't have imagined that first trip would lead to that. I just couldn't. But it stemmed from being smart with my money and waking up and be like, okay, I have a little bit of freedom. I'm unmarried. I don't have kids. Like, this is the time to do it right now.
Yeah, that is just such an amazing, I guess, goal and ambition to have, to be honest with you, because you have this pot of money, right? You saved and you worked hard for it, and you just said, you know, you're going to go for it and let's do it. So, along the way, like you said, I mean, there must have been some financial discipline that you had to have because it's going to have to last you, right? Like, you know, you wanted to hit all these targets, right? So, how did you actually plan that and make sure that that money was going to last you? Or did you make income along the way? Like, how did you manage that?
Oh, I love this question. And to be honest with you, the financial aspect of my year around the world was probably the most predominant question I received. And I received a lot of people saying, how are you doing this? How are you affording this? Who's paying for this? You know, a lot of questions come from it. So it is a good question. So first, I started by researching how much would it realistically cost to travel the world for 1 year? And I had no clue in the beginning. And I came to find that budgets are all over the place. I read about people who had done it on $6,000 to $8,000 per year, staying in hostels, eating rice and beans. And then I read about people who were wanting a more lavish experience and really the best of the best. And they spent upwards of $50,000 per year. And so when I had those two extremes, I said, okay, well, I'm kind of in the middle. So I set a budget, and my budget for that year was $30,000. I said, I'm going to travel either until I run out of that $30,000 or I just want to come home. So whichever comes first. That was kind of my budget because after doing the research, I decided not to work during the year abroad. I thought about it. I was like, okay, you know, maybe I bring in some income while I work. I could do some house sitting. I could volunteer. I could do some remote work. I decided not to. I decided in the end to just go all in, immerse myself into this full year. So I didn't make a dime for the entire year. Then when I got on the road, that's where the challenges became a little more intense of, okay, how do I actually make this work? Because I quickly realized hostels are a great way to save money, but they're not a great way to get a good night's sleep. Or there were some, like, I'm not big on eating out, but sometimes you just want to experience the local food and or go have a big night out with friends. And so I found for me, it came balance. And so I really tried to balance all aspects of the year around the world. So if I stayed in a hostel for 2 weeks, I would then treat myself to 2 weeks in a private apartment on Airbnb. If I didn't eat out for 2 straight weeks, I would gift myself, you know, hey, I'm going to eat out for a couple of days in a row, not worried about. So I would kind of find ways to like almost make it a game. Like, okay, be really disciplined with your spending for X amount of time. If you meet that goal, treat yourself. And so that's how I kind of came to these decisions abroad. And I also had to keep in mind some areas of the world are more expensive than others. So Southeast Asia, Latin America, Eastern Europe, very cheap. You know, I can live like a prince there on the US dollar is very strong currency. In other parts of the world, Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, very expensive. Mm-hmm. So I had to budget and think about things differently based on where I was in the world.
Wow. I mean, that is some serious discipline, especially if we decided not to work along the way and just to be diligent about really giving yourself those targets. You know, if I do this, then at least that's my reward. And again, it's a great discipline to have, because when you're saving for something in particular, so you know that you're going to have a nice day, you know, in the next 2 weeks, it makes it not so bad that you're actually, you had to suffer a little bit, right? To gain that reward later on.
Right.
So it's an excellent discipline to really learn in life that you can have the things that you want. You may just have to sacrifice just a little bit over here to gain the things that you want over here. So it's good to hear that panned out and actually helped you to create this lifelong dream of visiting the world.
It really did. It really gave me this kind of balance of, hey, I'm not getting too much of one thing, because too much of anything can be bad. And so it really provided this balance for me that I found was really important on a year around the world, because a year around of traveling is a year of intense roller coaster of emotions. So to kind of have that structure within a structureless existence was very powerful for me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Now, just for my own knowledge, but what was one thing that you actually learned from the people that you met around the world? I mean, everybody has a different culture and a different way of life and the way that they express themselves. What's one thing that kind of resonated with you over the different experiences that you had?
Oh, man, Carolyn, how much time do you have for this podcast?
I know it.
I mean, it's ultimately why I decided to write a book about my experience, because I had so much more to say than even, I think, not only most people wanted to hear, but that more than I even realized I needed to get out on paper. But there's a few learning lessons about humanity that just really changed how I view the world and how I view myself. And they sound really simple when I say them, but until someone actually goes out and experiences it, just words don't do it justice. But the first is, we are the same at our deepest, deepest core. Human beings are the same. From someone in Chicago, Illinois, to Aqaba, Jordan, to Bangkok, Thailand, we are the same. We want the same things. We're fighting for the same things. The language may be different. The wages may be different. The religion may be different. We are the same. I also just realized how much good there is in the world. There's so much more good than evil, in my opinion. And when I got home, I found that a lot of people who aren't or haven't seen as much of the world as others, they kind of have the opposite mindset. They tend to think there's so much more evil than bad. Mm-hmm. And I think, in my personal opinion, that stems from the media and the news. You know, we just have this very polarizing view of the world. But when you get out there and see it, in my opinion, there's so much more good than bad. And it's not a war zone on every corner. And people want to help you. I mean, yes, I think it would be naive to dismiss the world as a paradise and a utopia, because it's not true. There is evil, but it's so much more good than bad. And then the third thing I learned is just how deeply, sometimes even disgustingly privileged I am to be walking around, to even be traveling. Like, there's so much immobility in the world. There's so much injustice. And my privilege was never more glaring than that year around the world. And it changed me. It changed how I viewed so many aspects of life. And so I think in theory, a lot of people, I'll just say from the United States, a lot of people from the United States know how blessed and lucky they are. But in reality, that gap is very staggering until you actually get out and see it. And that was my experience. The staggering gap of theory versus reality. I'm like, wow, I am lucky.
Absolutely. And in a world where we live with social media, where perception of what is happening is really not the reality of what's happening. People have this lavish life and it's so great and everything's wonderful. And then you see the disparity upon the different cultures and how they live. And some of them are probably way more happier than the average American or Canadian, right? It's really nice to hear that because you've experienced it firsthand. It's something that I always thought, but it's good to hear everybody is the same. And it's refreshing. And it's good that we can actually send that message out to listeners and everybody else that as we think about our lives and how privileged we are to give back in a small little way by taking that culture and sharing it with others, I think that is truly really important.
Wow. Yes. Powerful.
Very powerful. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. And I know you talked about your book, so I want to hear everything, all the details. Where can you get it? We want to hear about those experiences and all the places that you've been. So tell me more.
Of course. I also wanted to ask, are you or your listeners interested in the total money I spent on my year around the world? Is that something you guys would want to know?
Oh, yes. That would be very interesting to hear, actually. So $30,000 was your budget. That's what you said before.
Yep.
So let's hear it.
Yep. So $30K was the budget. 365 days of traveling, 34 countries, 6 continents. I came in at $18,953.
Oh my goodness. That's insane.
$52 per day. All in, that was every meal, every lodging, every pub, every form of transportation. I spoiled myself, and sometimes like less than $19,000 for an unforgettable, life-changing trip around the world.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I thought that would be interesting.
That is so fascinating. Oh, my. I don't think I could have ever. When you said $30,000, I was like, well, that's kind of on the low side. But to say that you actually did it for less.
I did. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think my mindset, my motto was save where I can so I can spend where I want. And so that really served me well, like be cheap in certain places. But you know what? If you really want to go scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef, do it and money won't be an option. And so with that mindset, I was really able to have some really special experiences.
Wow. And sorry, one last question then is, did it allow for you to go to more places?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It really did, because in the beginning, about the first 6 months of the year, I was barreling through countries because I was on this dopamine high. I just wanted to see and do it all. And I found that in the latter half of the 6 months when I slowed down, I actually was saving money by slowing down. The transportation was my big budget killer. And by still having that mindset in the beginning of the 6 months, because I was moving so quickly, I was still able to visit more places. And so absolutely helped me visit more. In the latter half, I kind of got burned out. I was tired of moving so quickly. And so I definitely slowed down. But in the beginning, yes, I was barreling through countries. And I think it was because I was able to save.
Yeah, probably you needed the rest. Like it was probably time to like just sit back and slow down a little bit by the second leg of the trip. It sounded like it really turned out more than you expected, for sure.
So much more than I expected. So much more. So
sure.
I'll start with my baby.
Yeah.
This is my baby. It is called Gravel Roads. It is available on Amazon. It is also available on a few other distributors such as Barnes & Noble and IndieBound. But Amazon is the main place, probably the best place to purchase it. The title, Gravel Roads. Gravel is a play on words of grief and travel. So I kind of dive into some grief I experienced before the decision to go travel the world and, of course, the travel. So that's the play on words with gravel, grief, and travel. My website is ryancrane-author.com. I do have a Facebook and an Instagram as well. Those are the places I kind of hang out.
I was going to say, we want to see those pictures. Oh my goodness. It'd be so much to share.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thankfully, I was pretty active on Instagram during my year around the world. So I post a lot of photos there so people can go back and when they read the book, they can line up the story and the people with the names in the book and the people in the book, because I use real names of the people I met abroad. So it's kind of cool. My readers have had a really special moment of reading the book and then going back and seeing the photos. I'm like, oh, they have a face to the names.
So. Exactly. That is like kind of lighting up the book in a different way. So amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thanks so much, Ryan, again, for joining us. And I know my listeners are going to appreciate all that you've shared with us, because to be able to do something that is such a big passion for you on the premise of saving, because without that key, I don't think any of this would have been possible for you. So I totally appreciate you sharing that.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, Carolyn. I appreciate your time.
All right. Take care then.
If you're anything like I was, staying on top of your budget is not an easy task. Paycheck to paycheck would go by and you're no further ahead. For my listeners, I am giving you this free guide that is going to take you to the next level. It's got 10 easy tips to follow to help you stay on track with your budget. Just head to thefinancialmoment.com/budget-tips. Enter your information and you can download this guide right now. Thank you for listening. We are committed to helping you place your very first steps into your new home. See you next time.